Welcome to the Cyber Nation Uncensored podcast. We welcome all Chumbas, Edge Runners, Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, Spice Traders, and Space Folders. Thanks for joining us. Please give us a great review and also be sure to join us on both YouTube and Twitch. We'd love to see you on a live stream. Thanks again. See you soon. Hello, and welcome now to the Shadows of...
Could you imagine if I did the whole stream like that? My throat would be killing me. I'm just kidding. Hey, welcome everybody. This is our monthly Shadows of Asterion gameplay that we're going to do right here on the last Monday of every month. Everyone say hi. Let's check those mics before we get started.
Oh, hello.
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 Well, I can hear everybody. So chat, let us know if anybody's muted or frozen. We'll try to get that fixed right away. Sometimes little glitches happen. There, Alex in chat says, sounds good. Perfect. So yeah, like I said, this is our monthly stream we're going to do on the last Monday of every month. At this time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is our Shadows of Asterion game that we're doing for Studio Agate. And, we got a chance. Oh, thanks, Savage. Savage McNavage getting in there with the 16-month subscribe. Really appreciate that. But, yeah, we had the pleasure of meeting the team at Gen Con. We were out there with Sirenscape. Shout out to Steve, who's part of our team here from Sirenscape. And, just hit it off with the company, the people that run it, Nell, Kevin, just the whole team, just amazing people. And had to start up a stream about this. Typically, we don't dabble a little bit into the fantasy side of things. We always keep things kind of cyberpunk and future and dystopian on that end of the spectrum. However, don't be mistaken. This game is very dystopian, very dark. It's a medieval horror game, very, very low fantasy. But before I get into all that, before I describe the game, we get into our session zero, we introduce the characters and all that good stuff. Let's first do like we always do. Let's go around the table. Everyone, introduce yourself and let people know where they can find you online. Don't worry about introducing the character just yet, because we'll obviously be diving into that in a moment. So for now, just introduce yourself as a player. Rockette, why don't you start it off for us?
Why, I'd love to. Hello, everyone. I am Rockette Fox, your second favorite person in the world. And I am super thrilled and honored and excited to be here. If you need more of me, which I know you do, you can find me anywhere that Rocket Foxes can be found, including saying my name three times into a mirror and having me appear behind you. Okay. But aside from that, Thursday nights, I'm over on the Sirenscape channel. We're playing some Cyberpunk Red over there. Monday nights, other than last of the month, I am playing some Star Trek on ELH's channel, and I am about to... next month be playing some Traveler Pirates over on Trooper's channel. So it's a lot of stuff. It's super fun. Oh, also last Sunday of the month, Dune on this fabulous channel right here.
That's right.
So come find me.
Very true. Steve.
Hi everybody, I'm Steve Barr. I'm the community and content manager at Sirenscape. So if you don't know what Sirenscape is, we're the app that puts the awesome sounds into role playing games. But of course, if you've been watching any of Rob's shows, you already know what we are.
Very true.
I used to play Bodak in Rob's show a little while ago, and I'm so excited to finally get back to playing again, having kind of watched Rob and the team put on such a great show with their Cyberpunk show that they've been doing on our channel. To finally get to actually play with them is quite exciting.
Hell yeah. No, I'm excited to have you back. It's been so long since we got to play together, let alone, like you said, to put this team together. It's awesome. I'm really excited too. Bones. Or is it Little Bones? Are we going with Bones?
Either one. That's okay. Me, Little Bones 309. I have the smallest bones on twitch.tv on the World Wide Web. I play indie games on my channel here on Twitch. That's all I do is I play weird, strange things that I find around the web, and I play TTRPGs everywhere, apparently now. And you can find me all over the web as Little Bones 309.
Nice. Phil.
Hello, I'm Phil. You find me on social media at Scruff, SKKRUFF. I am part of Roll to Cast. So we are a little Aussie collective of four actors and directors, and we make a TTRPG podcast where we do a different game every season. We're seven seasons in. We do everything from Cyberpunk to The Witcher to Kids on Bikes, and we're currently in a season of Avatar Legends. So go check us out. That's ROLE to Cast. I also appear regularly on the Sirenscape channel doing a monthly cyberpunk game
weekly.
Weekly. Why is it month? Weekly cyberpunk.
You better
game.
Show up.
Yeah, you better be over there.
Yeah. Show up.
We need you.
I'm gonna get
seasons. Only ten seasons of weekly games, and I can't get it. Can't get it right with two of these lovely people here. Yeah. So that's me.
Nice. And Valerie.
Hello, I'm Big Val. You can find me at Twitter at cyber_Valerie. Oh, I got it right this time. And you can also find me here playing Phoenix, the Fixer, on our Veritox game every Wednesday, first and second of the month.
Yeah,
and then now here.
Second, and
then the last.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We're a handful of seasons in. We're all just figuring this out. We've been playing for years, and eventually we'll get it. Hey, and I'm Rob Mulligan. I'm usually the game master, but in this game, it's called a game leader. So I'm the game leader here, but I'm also the founder of Cybernation Uncensored. Check out Cybernation Uncensored anywhere on the interweb, anywhere you go, you'll probably find it. Just do a search. We stream live here on Twitch all the time, almost every day of the week, starting in October. A bunch of new series, a bunch of new GMs and gameplay. And then we VOD everything on our YouTube. So I would really appreciate everyone to like and subscribe to Cybernation Uncensored on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, you couldn't tune into the live, please give us a like, leave us a comment. I'd really appreciate the support. And then we put everything in podcast form out to like 30 plus websites. We're up to 350 something episodes now already. So check that out. Leave us a 5-star review. I would really appreciate that as well. So before we get started, I do want to just take a moment to give a shout out to my supporters on Patreon, because everyone knows I've been doing this for a while. I do it because I love it. I have a passion for tabletop role playing and all the series and content that I create. But it's absolutely validated by the supporters on Patreon. I just can't thank you enough, being the fuel on my fire. So shout out to Kevin Moreno, Joseph Holder, Naomi Madlass, William Huddleston, Jamie Minch, John Erfurt, Leaded Coffee, Chris Anderson, Matt James, a.k.a. GM, Reservoir Panda, Roten, a.k.a. Renegade 420, Revolver Gray, Samurai Mac, Steve Barr of Sirenscape, right here with us, Zeno, Zach Capricious Nature, Cyber Smiley Raven, Andy Stretton, Copious Salt, Derek Lawrence, Daniel Terry, Alex Maxwell, Nicholas King, Tracy Goodwin, a.k.a. Stink Palm, Igor, Chris Callies, Night City Nasty, and Homer's Odyssey. All right, let me catch my breath and let's get into it. This is, like I said earlier, our monthly gameplay. We're going to do on the last Monday of every month, 5 p.m. Pacific time, right here. It is Shadows of Esterin by Studio Agate, French gaming company, amazing people. And this game is pretty dark. Before we dive into the characters, what the game is about, and all that, let's just generally take it back a moment just for a little bit of session zero talk, a little bit of lines and veils, because if you've seen any of my streams, I run numerous teams for years now, currently running like five different teams. I think this is like the sixth or something that I got going, whether it's weekly or monthly or bi-monthly. I always stream a session zero like this. That way we can introduce the characters, we can put together the story of how they know each other. So when we dive into session one, we're ready to go. But it's also to kind of explain what to expect from the gameplay. Not just me as a game master or game leader and with my players, but also to let chat know what to expect, because everyone knows here at Cybernation Uncensored, we're uncensored in the form that, you know, it gets graphic, it gets gory, it gets intense. There's lots of moral dilemmas and things like that. However, we don't fuck with really offensive stuff like bigotry, racism, sexism, any of that typical stuff. I also personally don't like to describe or get into scenarios with like violence towards animals or children. Just the typical sort of offensive stuff. I avoid that. Now, that being said, all of my players absolutely can hit me up anytime in private and let me know, you know, what limitations they have, because obviously I want to discuss it right here and give everyone a moment to chime in with, you know, their preferences and lines and veils and all that. But sometimes you maybe don't want to say that publicly around the team, and it's just a one-on-one with your GM or game leader sort of thing. So feel free to shoot me a private message. Let me know, you know, what to avoid, what you like, all that good stuff, and we'll make sure everything falls in line to everyone's preferences and no one's getting offended. However, I do want to remind everyone that this game is very dark. You know, it's a medieval horror game, so it's going to be very gory and graphic. And there's also some moral dilemma stuff going on, like I do with all of my games. But remember, this also has a lot of mental resilience checks and trauma and sanity charts. So it deals with human condition. And typically in my session zeros, I always mention, like, I avoid, human disorder, mental disorders and things like that. Like, I don't like to talk about things like that, because I know a lot of, you know, all of us have little issues and things going on, and you know, we use this gameplay to kind of get away from some of those things, so you know, we tread lightly on those subjects. However, in this game, there's a whole sanity chart, a whole trauma point system. There's, you know, disorders and crisis and things that you might have to deal with because of the things you've seen or have been through. You know, combat is very brutal here. You know, it's not just as simple as attacking, fighting, and healing and moving on. It's like you might have a scar or a limp or something that plays out into your future and really fucks with your mind and gives you a messed up mental condition or an issue that you have to deal with. One of the details is your team has an occultist who can deal with hypnosis and help with actual therapy in the game, which is kind of good for the team because an occultist is the one you go to help with trauma and stuff like that through hypnosis. But anyways, back to the main point of this session, Zero Lines and Veils, is the fact that we are going to deal with some, you know, mental disorders and mental health issues and stuff like that, because the game does get kind of deep like that and dark like that. So just know that when you're watching it, we are going to get pretty serious and dark on this. If you've seen a lot of my other gameplay too, we tend to joke around a lot. You know, we have a good time here when we play, just like anywhere. You know, if you're playing in person around a table or you're streaming, you have fun and you're in character, you're immersive. You want to cosplay, you want to speak in the character voice, you want to role play as much as possible. But, you know, you're a player, you're a person, you're playing with friends, and you're going to joke around, you're going to have a good time and things like that in between. But I'm going to remind everyone watching and the players that because of how this game is, we're going to tone that down a little bit, a little less joking around. We're going to take this a little more serious, and we're going to try to really paint a picture of, you know, the vibe and genre that this game is. We really want to do it justice. So just keep that in mind. That being said, are there any sort of lines, veils, things that I didn't mention that we should mention? Otherwise, anyone can hit me up in private message. Or did I kind of cover all the main bases here? Are we? How's everyone feeling?
Feel pretty good.
Yeah, I'm happy with the tone you've set out. Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
cool.
All good here.
Yeah, and again, like I said, the message is always open, so you can always DM me any stuff. We can get it going. Also, if we're in the middle of gameplay and we hit a sticky situation that just hits a little too close to home or something, you know, is rubbing you the wrong way, you can at any moment just raise your hand and hold on. This scene is a little odd or whatever, you know. Just let me know. We can absolutely mend it as we go. That being said, I should mention this game is very little crunch. It does have rules. It does have a way to handle skill checks, combat, all that sort of stuff. However, it recommends that you role play things out. If you can describe a scene, you can role play, you can play it out. Go with that. Create the story in character. Make it as immersive as possible. And if you can avoid rolling dice and figuring out things with math, do it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, I'm going to lay out the plots here as we get into my campaigns. And if you've seen my other streams, you know, I always try to put plot twists and interesting, like I said, moral dilemmas. Just I try to make it deep and give options and things like that. But in this case, I'm going to kind of have a plot in mind. We're going to lay out things, but I'm absolutely going to be as open as possible with the players creating the story with me. I'm going to lead the story, obviously, as the game leader, but we're all going to create this together. We're all going to create scenes as a plot unfolds. If players are coming up with their ways that they think it works and things that we're creating parts of the story, we're going to go with that. We're going to lean into different ideas and stuff, and we're going to just see how awesome we can create these campaigns and these stories and just see what we can do together collectively. So keep that in mind as well. Savage McNavage, rewarding something pointless and random during session zero. I don't even know where to begin with that. I think that would just mess with my players too much. I'm going to hold on to that for our session one. That'd be too messed up. All right, so Shadows of Estrin. You're basically set in this peninsula. It's three kingdoms. The main king of all the land is dead. Successor is not lined up. There's been tragic situations where all three kingdoms are kind of at tension, kind of battling each other. They all kind of want that spot, you know. They all want to rule the kingdom. The the land itself, the world, is set in an interesting setting. Me and Phil were just talking about this and kind of figuring out the calendar situation, because there is a 12-month calendar, 30 days per month, and there are kind of seasons. There's harsh winters, short summers, but there's this overlaying sort of climate blanket that goes on, because the entire thing is on an elliptical rotation, and yeah, it basically puts, what was it, a 440-year cycle, where it's like half winter, half summer, or half heat. So it gets intense.
So like 200 years ago, there was like a mega winter that like
exactly
decimated the population. It's called the White Famine. Yeah, it's really, really extreme.
Oh, I love it. It just sets a tone that even, you know, before you get into character, town, city, drama, plots, whatever, it just automatically, weather and climate and just automatic setting is brutal and dangerous. And the setting that we're starting in is just coming off of a real brutal winter, obviously, within the yearly sort of cycle. We'll work out the months and those details when we start our session one, but the gist of it is we're going to come off of the winter. Winter's still going to be there, snow, but we're just getting out of that, getting back to travel and living and working and things like that. But we'll get into those details in session one. I think it's important now that we've kind of covered lines and veils, the general idea of the game, that let's dive into the characters. Let's go into each character, and then after we get the descriptions and we all have a good feel for each of the character, I'll kind of give the idea of what I'm thinking to get everyone in the same place to be able to start session one collectively. So as we go around here, what I want to do is let's just do one character at a time. We'll dive into the ethnicity, so whether you're an Osag, Terish, Continental, or Tree Kazelian. We'll get into your social class, so commoner, clergy, nobility, that sort of thing. Your personality, we'll get into your qualities and your flaws, advantages and disadvantages. And then mental health. I'd love to just get an idea of how many trauma points you're starting with and what kind of disorder you have. I know, when you fail mental resilience stuff and you have these trauma points hit that are coming in, whether temporary or permanent, if you fail, you end up getting a disorder, and you have to deal with that, whether it's like nightmares or paranoia or hallucinations, things like that. So I'd love to chat about that for just a moment too, and hear everyone's traumas, what these characters have been through, if we could. So let's get into it. Phil, you want to start it off with me?
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it.
Yeah, let's get into it. And I think what we'll do is let's start it off with the proper way to pronounce your character's name, because I do want to let chat and everybody know that there's going to be a lot of names, a lot of cities, towns, things that are going to be kind of confusing to pronounce, and we might be figuring it out as we go. And then we're going to lock into how we're going to say it, and we're going to go with that, because it sounds like there could be multiple ways to kind of get this to happen. So, Phil, how are we pronouncing? Is it Nedwyr?
Nedwyr, yes.
I got it.
Nedwyr.
Nice, Nedwyr.
Hard to make it. It's fairly simple, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a Varigal, which is kind of like the nomad of Shadows of Estrin, right? Kind of a traveling...
Kind of. I mean, I think of the Tarish people in general as nomads. They're the kind of our kind of Romany thing. So Varigals have this very particular role where everything in Estrin is extremely far apart. It's like a vast landscape. And most people live in like these little isolated villages because there are horrible creatures out there that attack you if you go to the dark places of the world. So most people live in these fortified villages, and the spaces between places are really vast. So you have these people called Varigals, and their whole job is to guide people between towns and take messages between towns. So yeah, they have this very particular role in society where they have a very dangerous job, but they're always needed. If you want to get somewhere, you need either to join a big caravan or you need a Varigal to guide you, and they have like a special ability as well that no one else has access to, called side roads, where they know all of the back ways, they know all the shortcuts between places, so they can get you places, maybe not safely, but you know, competently, because they can't control everything. And the other thing they have access to is called signs. So the Varigals have this their own little way of marking up the landscape and leaving symbols for each other about where brigands or fiondas might be or survival caches or things like that. So yeah, that's me. I'm a Varigal, always useful. I can guide you between places and bring you the news.
Nice. What's your ethnicity?
I'm a Trikazellian, just a normal person of the peninsula, which is
nice. And that makes sense because, you know the peninsula well. That's where you're born, raised, and traveling. That makes sense. What social class is Nedwyn from? Nedwyr.
I'm a commoner, but I went with craftsman for just like a little bit of extra flavor from kind of what I might have picked up from parents before joining the Varigal lifestyle.
Nice. All right, cool. And then what about, let's get into your personality a little bit. If you want to discuss your qualities and your flaws, your advantages and disadvantages, just give us an idea of what he's like.
It's interesting the way, things have set out in this. Your qualities come from, depending on what you're strong and weak in terms of the five kind of personality traits. So I'm very high empathy, which you need for traveling because you're in tune with the world and kind of low on reason and conviction. And so what that shakes out to in my qualities is my main quality, plus quality, is that I'm independent, good for a Varigal. They're kind of... can get about on their own, and then inconsistent is the flaw. Just taking that independence too far, where he lives by his own kind of calendar, his own ideas, and so can't always be relied on because he's got his own thing going on.
Nice. What about you have any advantages and disadvantages?
So I went with a little survival instinct. Just gives me some extra survival points to spend at the beginning of the game. And strong mind as well.
Nice.
I didn't settle on any disadvantages yet. I'm still tweaking that last little bit of my character. You can get some extra XP if you go for disadvantages.
Exactly. But, there's a whole give and take sort of system there for advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you
exactly.
spend XP to get some advantages, you earn some by taking on disadvantages, and then you also have to take a minimum of certain based on the age too. You know, if you're older, you have more disadvantages and benefits. Yeah, but it's absolutely perfectly fine. If anyone didn't finish the little polishing touches here on your character, just get it done by session one. Right now, let's just dive into these things as much as we can to get an idea for the character. But sure, we can,
But because I'm 26, I do get two setbacks, as you say. Being of a certain age, you get setbacks during your life, but you do get more experience in return. So there's a mysterious rumor hanging around my character. It's one of my setbacks. Which is cool because that relates to my other setback I've decided, which is violence in my past. So one definitive trauma point with a painful, violent... horrible memory. So I've decided that this is to do with him leading an expedition, leading a bunch of people as a Varigal to a certain place. I had the idea that perhaps they weren't going from town to town, but they were greedy treasure hunters, perhaps trying to find one of the towns abandoned in the last great winter. But they came into some terrible circumstances, attacked by the Fionns, and everybody died, and it was basically his fault. He led them into this terrible situation, and he was the only survivor. And that's also where the rumor comes from, is that he's actually not, he's not to be trusted and can't get you places safely. So
I love it.
Yeah, but that has left its psychic mark on him, that he witnessed the slaughter at the hands of these terrible creatures that we know very little about.
Oh, yeah. And I'll get into a little bit about the Fionda once we get past all the character stuff and explain it for chat. And I also just want to back up a moment for BB Swaggins there in chat, because you said you weren't familiar with the game, but you love the team, so you're here to check it out and stuff. And you know what? You're here for the right session. This is session zero, where you're going to get an idea for the game, what the setting is. Like we said, it's a very low fantasy medieval horror set in Trikazell, the land of Trikazell, a peninsula. There's three kingdoms in that peninsula. But right now we're just introducing the characters, so you can get an idea of kind of the role that they play, a Varigal in the case of Phil's character, Nedwyr. And then just going over the character stuff, obviously there's advantages, disadvantages, trauma that you go through that kind of set your trauma points leading to that sanity stuff that I was describing earlier. So, hey, just hang with us. You'll get an idea of all the characters, and then you'll be ready for our session one. But okay, cool. Let's talk a little bit. So any other trauma points or any other things to go over? Any things that have happened to Ned Weir?
No, I think those are the kind of major events. I don't want to kind of do too deep a history. There's some really kind of good events there, like things that have happened before we start. Because, you know, there's adventure ahead. There's stuff ahead to fill in. So I felt that those kind of events were a nice starting point.
Oh, no, I love that. And it's kind of cool if any players want to hold on to, you know, one or two of their trauma things, have a story for at least one of them. But if you do want to hold on a couple of those stories or develop them as we go, you know, drop those into sessions when it makes sense or it comes in and you can spice up a moment or something, like, I'm all for that. That'll be fun. I really like that. We'll kind of unfold it as we go. Now, what about, you said the occupation, obviously, Varigal, but you also said a craftsman. You have a little bit of craftsman experience, right, you said?
Yeah. So that's nice. Part of the intro. You can see whether you're like a peasant, commoner kind of thing, and craftsman's kind of a division of the lower class commoner. So I took a couple of extra points in the domains of relation and erudition from that. So I think maybe the craftsmen I came from were perhaps maybe like parchment makers or something like a little bit more of a fine craft that gave him access to those sorts of knowledge-based skills before becoming a Varigal.
Nice. Do you have a family or hometown or like a home city or something where you're from or based out of, or are you kind of traveling for work like typical Varigal and stuff, or any background?
Well, yeah, definitely been traveling for a long time. You know, hometown is long forgotten, but originally from the Southern Kingdom, Tal Caer, in the northwest corner, which let me just...
Yeah, Tal Caer.
Tal Caer, yeah. So the dukedom of Kel Loire, which is in the northeast corner. It's kind of close to Rhys, which is known for its like libraries and study, which is where I got that kind of idea from. And also that close to the kingdom where like the Magentists come from. Exactly. So I thought that might be a good way to kind of like link up the characters, seeing as we have one of those.
No, I was just going to say, I am going to bring up the map in session one so everybody can be familiar. But the peninsula basically has a Gwydir or a Gwydra, Raish, and then Tal Caer, the three Raish. Different kingdoms. And it will work out, like I said, those pronunciations as we get into session one. But I love the fact that you're in the southern, you're in kind of the northern eastern of the southern, because I am going to start us off in Ostabai, the main capital of that, which puts you right near there.
Yep.
And I've got some ideas for that. So that works for me. That's great. And I love that the Varigal, you know, long forgot his hometown for the most part, currently kind of working out of that area or whatever. But I love that vibe. Okay. Anything else that you want to add to that, or are we good to move on?
I think that's a good summary of me. I mean, unless anyone has any questions in the chat, that they're burning questions.
Yeah, feel free to chat. Put any questions in chat for character, keeping in mind that some we might not answer, because like I said, we might want to unfold some of these things as we play. Let things be discovered and have some fun with that. But yeah, let's move on. Bones, let's hear about your occultist. I don't even want to try to pronounce the name yet. Just let us know.
Brickera.
It's
a rolled R, Brickera.
Nice.
To start off, she is an occultist. She is a Tarish, which is a nomadic people. Everything that I've read about the Tarish sort of puts them akin to like Bohemians. They're travelers, and Brickera is not exempt from that whatsoever. She is the daughter of a craftsman, but has sort of parted ways from her family in strange and unusual circumstance.
Oh. Nice. So we've got, Tarish as the ethnicity. What social class? You said commoner?
Craftsman.
Oh, craftsman. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. And then what about let's get into some of that personality stuff. And then we can discuss some of the history and trauma, at least what you want to reveal initially. And then, like I said, feel free to hold on to some good, you know, little tidbits and stuff that we can unfold as we play, obviously. But let's get into the personality a little bit, you know, your qualities, your flaws, your advantages and disadvantages.
So she's extremely inventive. She's an intelligent woman. But with that being said, her major flaw is she is an eccentric. She's very strange. And with that, it's almost like a madness within the brilliance. She's just a very odd being. But I think she's earnest in this oddness. But she's just strange and bizarre and seems almost not uncouth, but a little bit feral, for lack of better words.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that for an occultist.
Yeah. She's very odd. I like her a lot.
Nice. It fits, too, because an occultist, you know, they dabble in, you know, dream play where they can kind of get visions and ideas from that might, you know, reveal certain things or give ideas. They deal with, like I said, hypnosis, which can be worked into therapy. You know, they just have that sort of mysterious vibe to them. And I love that you're making her eccentric a little bit, you know, a little bit odd. I like that a lot. So, yeah, any other, you know, advantages or disadvantages you want to discuss?
There's some stuff that I'd like to see kind of unfold as far as that goes.
Sure.
Should I go ahead and reveal what her trauma is?
Yeah,
well, go not for what, her, what causes it, but
tell us.
She suffers from hallucinations, vivid visual hallucinations, and there's some reasoning behind that. The party and that chat will learn during session one, I'm sure.
Nice. Yeah, let's not get too much more into it, but I like that. Now we know she at least what her disorder is when she has those moments where she fails those mental resilience checks and such. You know, things get a bit much. She might hallucinate a bit. Anything that you want to bring up as far as, you know, background? I know you said you kind of separated from family and stuff. Any other things you want to discuss about that or leave that also to kind of let unfold if people get into your family background and stuff?
So her father was a scientist and wished to have her learn more traditional, rational ways of science within the world, but she found very little interest in things outside of the metaphysical.
Nice. So he was studying a magiantist.
Correct. Yes.
Nice. Very cool. So that's kind of, that'll be an interesting dynamic too, because we know Val is playing a magiantist, and there's always that little sort of, you know, potential for odd interaction between an occultist and a magiantist, because they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, oh, yes, you're hoodoo voodoo, and oh, you're so, you know, calculated, you're missing all this spiritual information or interest, you know,
right,
stuff from the ether or whatever, you know. No, I love that, and that's kind of cool that you have the separation from family and that they were into magians and being a magiantist. That's really cool. What part of the peninsula, where are you from or currently residing? And obviously I'm going to pull everyone to us to buy. I've got some ideas, but where is she from? Where is she at?
Raish? Did I say that?
Yeah, right? Raish.
Yes, she's from Raish originally. But she does not stay in one place for very long if she can help it.
Okay, very cool. Let's move on to Steve. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can get this right. Is it Aegon?
It is, yes, Aegon.
Aegon, that's a crazy spelling. That has to be some crazy Celtic, Nordic, French lore, something. I don't know where that spelling came from, but I love it.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep it simple.
I love it.
But so Aegon is a, I can't even pronounce this one, is a Osag, I believe it is.
Yeah, Osag.
Yeah, we are a fierce and proud people from the south of the continent. I suppose you could say almost the true descendants of the continent itself. Yeah. We are part of the kingdom, but we still kind of very fiercely hold to our ideals and our beliefs. And we live in kind of smaller communities, so kind of like clans of 30 to 200 people dotted all around a really rugged kind of terrain. Aegon is a hunter, and for much of his young life, he served his clan as a hunter and was very proud to do so. But he's actually quite an old man at this stage. He's 35 years old, which in this world
that's
is
old, yeah.
Yeah, that's putting him past it.
I think in like the whole peninsula, there's probably only a few senior citizens. Like in your 30s is considered like, you know, that's crazy. Yeah, that's awesome.
However, he's no longer part of his clan. For the last few years, he's served within the Ingards, which are small kind of bastions dotted around the landscape that are there to try to protect the lands and to deal with the Fiondas. So kind of hunting the Fiondas and trying to keep them at bay to protect people. Now, the ones that are kind of in there's a mixture of... So some of them are soldiers that are there to serve their crown. But for the vast majority of them, they're convicts, people who have committed kind of terrible deeds and have been sent to pretty much a death sentence to go and serve within these places. So there was a rumour around Aegon of what it is that he did to be there, because he's clearly no soldier. So that's the kind of where that side of it goes for him.
What do you have listed for social class being an OSAG?
So his social class, what do you mean as a craftsman? But it's, again, because he's a hunter, so his crafting is literally as he's hunting.
Yeah, I love that. Makes sense.
So that kind of fit in there. And with that, he's got good health and keen sight. So he's kind of very good on that. But living out in the wilds, he's got very, very bad taste. So he can eat or drink kind of spoiled foods and it'll do him bad, but he just won't notice the poor taste of it.
Okay.
he's kind of used to that. He's also quite heavily scarred. Again, maybe that's from his time working at the Ingard or something else, but his face is quite kind of clawed and the flesh is quite marred. So he definitely looks like he's served his years. Just trying to throw through. His main skill, obviously, is as an archer, and he's very good at that and very proud. And again, that kind of comes in with the fact that his flaws and his advantages, he's stubborn, but he also is very, very strong perseverance. So even if something goes wrong, he'll just keep on trying and trying and trying until he gets it right, often to his own detriment or kind of the anger of those around him. And that kind of, again, goes very strongly with the just the kind of how proud we are as a warrior people. His mental state, I suppose, is he does suffer from hallucinations, which are kind of visions of events that have happened in the past, and they kind of come back to haunt him. So that's that kind of affects him quite badly, in fact, because he has got quite a few trauma points already.
Any individual stories you want to reveal with any of those trauma points? You want to keep all of them kind of inside?
Well, it's something that I suppose would kind of come out more, but there is tragic love and solitude are two of his setbacks, and they kind of tie in to maybe the reason why he was sent to that Ingard in the first place. So that being cut off from his own clan and almost like an outcast of his people, that's going to be having quite a strong effect on somebody who is, you know, as an Oscar, the clan is all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe something that he's not too keen to talk about initially with just anyone, you know, it's a hard point for him. I like that. That's deep. And just to remind everybody watching too, you know, we have lots of these traumas and deep disadvantages aside from advantages and all these, you know, conditions and you know, things like that. It's a very role play heavy game. So, you know, the players are encouraged to lean into those moments, you know, obviously don't overkill it. You don't want to, you know, overdo it and stuff. But you're using these things, you know, about these disadvantages and trauma moments and stuff to be able to spice up scenes and moments and role play that character, you know, proper to how they would be based on these problems and conditions and stuff. So I love it. So all players remember that, you know, as going through it. What about background stuff? Anything in particular you can obviously cut off from the clan? Where exactly did you figure out exactly where the clan is? What about family? I imagine in the 30s, you know, parents aren't alive anymore.
So I say his parents, they will have long since passed, but he still has brothers and sisters. that would be back at the clan. And we're from the lands of Deus, which are part of the kingdom of Tarkair, I believe you should say it, which is the lands to the south. And it's where many of the Oscar kind of settle. As I say, it's kind of very rugged terrain. And I imagine that the Ingar that he serves at is probably kind of maybe on the border between there and the more northern kingdoms, which obviously would then be a good way as well for me to maybe be brought up to the city.
Exactly.
For whatever reason.
Being right near Astavai, that would work perfect. Yeah,
because obviously, you know, cities is not somewhere that is his natural terrain, and he's going to be very uncomfortable in them.
Yeah, exactly. Kitty! Look, you're out in the wild and a cat just rolled up. Okay, good. Now I think that's great. Let's take it over to Val. Valerie, tell us about Lutetia. I see that she's a Magientist. Let's start first with your ethnicity.
She's from the Continental.
Okay, yeah, she's a Continental. Continent. Yep. Yeah. And what about social class?
She's a noble. Noble. She's very wealthy. Noble family. Very highly educated. She's in good health. Very educated. Very, very book smart.
Yeah, tell us about some of her, you know, qualities and flaws, advantages and disadvantages, stuff like that.
Well, those are her advantages. So due to her, she's 22 years old, just graduated. So due to her advantages, being very book smart and all that, caused with some disadvantages of being very weak. Because she's very indoorsy. She doesn't go out. She's very in her little library. And she's an only child, so they focus on her being very educated as a female Magientist. So, and she's very fragile. So if she gets a paper cut, she's going to kind of go, oh, she don't know how to handle that for a second. And she had a lot of trauma in her young life. Those are her disadvantages.
You know, any other advantages or disadvantages you want to discuss? And then if not, any other traumas you want to reveal? Obviously, you know, you can hold on to some if you want, but are there any you want to, you know, express?
I have three traumas. I have one that's very violent. We can hold on to that one. I think that one was very interesting to hold on to.
Yeah, I would say the one that you feel is, you know, kind of the most fucked up or whatever, the most messed up, maybe be the one to hold on to, you know, maybe you wouldn't reveal so much. Maybe the lightest one or story, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I'll hold on to two of them. I will do the lightest one because that one like actually happened recently. Through her graduation, after that, she went out with her fellow students. And as we were coming, returning from the pubs, and it was our first time going out, we actually were robbed. And as through all that was going on, I actually was stabbed. So all that blood and gore and all that, I was actually left by my students, my fellow classmates just left me there. So I woke up the next morning still in the gutter. So that was one of my trauma. Not so.
That's the lightest story.
Yeah. That's
exactly.
The lightest one.
Oh, God. Welcome to the Shadows of Estrin.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I do have two other ones, but I'll hold on to those.
Yeah.
So due with this trauma, I do my disorder is obsession.
Nice.
So if my mental resilience, I become obsessed with whatever was going on with that situation.
Which kind of plays into your advantage too. I think when you sent me your sheet, I saw it was focused.
Yeah, focus.
Which is your advantage, and then your disadvantage is.
Disadvantage, I'm very cautious, very, very cautious, and I overly cautious. With
oh, that's
things.
Right. Overly cautious. Yeah. So it sounds like, what were we going to say? Probably what?
It probably will be a little annoying to other people. So there'd probably be a lot of repeating of herself and trying to draw a point because she took social skills. She didn't do military like everyone else did. She did take classes to learn her social skills. So she's looking forward to learning and doing that with other people.
Like actually field testing some of those social skills right?
Yeah, actually interacting with other humans besides books.
Right. Now, it sounds like Lutetia, you know, book smart and stuff, maybe learn some social skills by reading, wanting to finally get out there and try them out. But yeah, fits in with the Magientist in the sense of, you know, you're an indoor adventurer, right?
I'm an indoor cat.
Exactly. Yeah. You spent most of your life in the studies and at the university and stuff. I think, what about background? What about, family and where you're from, any of that sort of stuff?
Raz.
Race.
Raish. Yeah. From Raish and I don't even know how to pronounce it. Kat.
The city
that be... Yeah, the region was Kai
Kalvinak.
Kalvinak, yeah.
Yeah, it's here in the pronunciation guide, and I know it because I saw it on your sheet and I had to look it up. It's Kalvinak. That's where you're from, yeah. Kalvinak. And that's up in Raish, and that's a bit north of Astabai, so that also fits kind of in being at least nearby. So everything so far is aligning with what I have in mind so far.
Yeah, and we're first generation, so we're the first client to be there. So we don't know much about the rest of the family, the history of my grandparents, but we're the first generation there.
Oh, so first, so you're the first born into Tree Kazel.
Yes, and both my parents are Medjugesses, so.
Nice. Okay, very cool. All right, and I love that we're holding on to something. Everyone's holding on to a little bit of something, you know. We'll learn more about characters as we go. Hey, one ghost. Thanks for the follow. Appreciate that. So, Roquette Fox, let's hear about, is it Morena or is it a hard R, Morena? How are you pronouncing?
Morana.
Okay, cool. Yeah, tell us, let's start with, the ethnicity and social class first.
Yes, she's a commoner. She is a Tarish. Your friendly local rogue. And I can tell that she and Luciana are going to be friends ... ellipses.
Luticia.
I wrote all the names, but they're on the back of my sheet.
So. Oh yeah, we'll get used to all the pronunciations as we get through session one. Maybe by session 10 or 12, we'll get things right with the pronunciations for each other. But yeah, go on.
So she is a commoner though, and she actually grew up an orphan on the streets as a basically your street urchin, and really fending for herself, kind of. Becoming really self-reliant whenever the time came. She was able to forge some necessary papers to do her military service, thinking that maybe that would lead to a happier life. It did not. It would, in fact, not lead to a happier life.
What is this happy life you speak of?
I know. This is Shadows of Esterin. Barely, I don't think there is a happy life anywhere to be found on this peninsula.
I'm sorry, this word, happy?
Exactly. What about her, being a rogue, it makes sense, living on the streets and just, having to get by and fend for yourself and, maybe take sometimes to survive. But what about any qualities, flaws, advantages, and disadvantages?
Yeah, so her quality is that she is daring. She'll do almost anything at any moment. And likewise, her flaw is that she's rebellious. She'll do almost anything at any moment. So that's kind of her deal. And she, after her military service, she getting into the rogue lifestyle, she actually started working as, bodyguard sometimes, mercenary sometimes. So she's comfortable enough just in terms of financial stability and things like that. But she's still pretty wears everything pretty close to the chest, as it were.
Nice. What about you said where is she currently? Like, where is she based out of? Is she still where she kind of grew up on the streets, or has she moved from there? Like, where are you at?
So she's originally from Ostravile, from Koskan, the coastal city of debauchery and danger. And I think that's where she tends to return as a base, but she kind of just moves about if she hears of, somebody who's looking for a bodyguard or somebody who needs a little bit of an offing somewhere. She travels for work.
So mercenary work. Nice.
That is correct.
No, I love that. Any traumas that you want to indulge in? Or you want to hold on to all of them? Maybe reveal one, or you got anything?
Drama, you say?
Uh-oh.
Well... I would say one that's probably a pretty easy one for her, would be that when she was young, getting to the point to where she was so hungry, and there, the normal spots of refuse and such were a little light that day, she ended up having to eat, kill and eat a creature from the streets.
Oh. That can be traumatic.
It wasn't great, but she also did not develop a taste for anything, much like some of our wonderful comrades.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, and we'll let the other traumas kind of unfold like we're doing with the other characters, you know, in gameplay over time. We'll see, you know, how personalities unfold and what's causing it. And just we'll let everyone role play that out as they would. Yeah. So just to recap a little bit for chat's sake and players, you know, it's a dark game. You know, it's a medieval horror sort of themed game. It has a bit of a dark romanticism vibe to it, but you know, it's a low fantasy dark vibe. You know, aside from humans being enemies, obviously, like you, Lutetia getting mugged and stabbed, right? There's bad people out there, and in between these towns and cities, you know, anything can happen. And there's always that human element of, you know, getting done in by your fellow man, right? But there's also these things called Fiondas that maybe you've heard mentioned a couple times in here from our players. Fiondas are kind of like the evil creature of the land. Think like a demon. They're basically an evil entity that's been here before the humans and people were in this land, and they'll be here long after the humans are going to be here. They're a mystical sort of evil entity that there's very little known about. When they do appear in their sort of humanoid form, they almost resemble this sort of orcish humanoid being, but not any two are the same. They wear these weird sort of bone masks things, and again, not anyone is the same, but that's only when they appear in that humanoid form, which is, it tends to be rare. Most of the time, they'll be kind of part of the elements. They'll be part of the environment or the area or whatever situation they might be causing. So it's very, it can be confusing, and sometimes things can be unexpected when it comes to dealing with Fiondas. So I just want to let that be known, so chat and players know just how diverse and flexible and fucked up Fiondas can be, and it's dangerous, and you never know what to expect.
Some of them are like creatures, exactly. Like weird creatures never seen before, and they're like, sometimes they just mass up and attack villages. No one knows why.
Yeah, that's the other thing to make a key point of. Good, I'm glad you brought that up, is the fact that, you know, like I said, they're confusing, little known about them. One thing's for certain, they seem to hate humans and civilization. They don't like the expansion of humans into the rest of the world and environment. They don't like cities being built. They don't like things that Magientists do by creating flux, which is kind of the fuel to their artifacts to kind of power their tools and things. So yeah, they might attack humans just because they hate them. They might you know, kind of swarm up and try to attack a whole town or city or situation or a group traveling, or they could be individual. You know, they're also known to be kind of solo and do their own thing. But again, very unpredictable. And I think that's the scariest thing about them, is that they're hard to define and they're unpredictable. So that's kind of the scariest thing out there, because you can't plan for that. You just don't know what to expect. You just got to deal with it when it happens. So that's kind of the gist of the enemies, the creatures, the Fiondas, that sort of side of it. And you heard me mention flux. Let me just dabble a little bit in that, because there is a, you know, like I said, there's low fantasy. So Magientists, they have their equivalent of like magic, are in the form of these artifacts, these tools and items. Like, for instance, Lutetia has those optic glasses. An artifact, basically, that when powered with flux, and there's four different types of fluxes, which is extracted from either minerals and earth or like vegetation, organic stuff or fossil flux. And there are different levels of power. Different artifacts are powered by different fluxes. You can mess them up if you use the wrong flux, but that's how you power these items. And when she powers her glasses there, she can use it in one of two ways, to either be kind of like microscopic vision, like a microscope to see little details and try to get clues and information. Or it can be used as a sort of night vision, so she can see in the night. So you get an idea of Magientist, and there's all kinds of tools and artifacts, I should call them, that are powered by this flux. And then there's things called Demortans, which are kind of like the equivalent of a druid. They deal with runes, and they can kind of do some magic sort of things, basically calling on the elements and spirits and things like that. They're kind of respected in the old way of thinking in Tri Gazel, this peninsula where everyone's living in Shadows of Esterin, because they're the old school. The new school is the Magiantist. They're kind of like the mage, magician, scientist sort of thing, sometimes frowned upon because it's the modern tech sort of thing, even though they're helping society. You know, they're the reasons there's the big elevators to get to the different levels at Ostabai, the big main capital city of Tael Caer. So there's useful things that they use them for. But again, Demorthans are kind of the old school druid magic sort of version, the opposite of a Magiantist. And then there's the temple. There's people that come from the temple that can call upon miracles, which again are their form of sort of magic, and they might be able to pull a miracle a day, so to speak. There's different levels and things within the temple. And then out of the three parts of Tri Gazel, the land broken up into the three kingdoms, they're typically from different parts, like the Osag and the old school, the Demorthans. They're typically in the south in the Tael Caer, the more embedded part of the peninsula, over by the sort of traveling side and the... Gwydir is kind of, I guess that's how we'll pronounce it, Gwydir. That's kind of where the temple is, where they traveled in with the one true god and where all the templists and that sort of society is based out of. And then up in Raish, which is connected to the rest of the continent, where this peninsula comes from, Raish is kind of where Magiantists are from, which is understandable, traveling in from the continent, bringing in modern scientists and new ways of thinking. So that's kind of how
they got over in some airships, didn't they, the Magiantists? Because there's a massive mountain range separating them.
Oh, exactly.
So they arrived in these airships, like, oh, we're here now.
Exactly. Yeah, and we should mention that too, the big cliff drop off in the mountain separating from the continent. You know, this whole peninsula is kind of isolated in its way. So it has all this turmoil and almost like this whole world going on within this peninsula. So it's pretty awesome. And obviously, more lore, more things will unfold as we play. We'll kind of uncover things as we go. In session one, I'll bring up the map. I'll always bring chat involved and give you some visuals as we go. But for the most part, this is going to be theater of the mind. This is going to be very heavy role play, very little crunch. And like I said, we're all going to contribute to the story and we're going to go with it. We're going to feed off of each other and just see what kind of awesome campaigns and stories and plots we can create together. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers all the characters, the lines and veils stuff, the major ideas of the land and the setting of Shadows of Esterin. The one thing I want to go over is how we're pulling everyone together. I want to start everyone in Ostabai, which is the main capital of Tael Caer. It's kind of in that northern of the southern kingdom. What I'd like to say is this. Marana? Morana, let's say you're already there. You said that you kind of frequent Ostabai. Maybe you're kind of based out of there. It's the biggest city of the peninsula, you know, and you're there just making some money, doing rogue things, some thieving, some back alley workings, you know, little espionage things, maybe a little, you know, assassination stuff. You're just doing some street work like a typical rogue out of there. We can say that Nedwyr, is that right? I want to make sure I get everybody's names right. Nedwyr. Nedwyr being a Varigal makes sense.
I mean, Ned is fun.
Or Ned, yeah. You ended up in Ostabai because in between the traveling and doing typical Varigal stuff, you've gotten word on your last job that apparently one of the main Varigal outposts in Ostabai that kind of people go to hire Varigals to send messages and bring goods, travel things, stuff like that. They put out a big need for new Varigals to come in. They have current situations that they need immediate help with, and they're putting out, you know, double pay for any Varigal that can get there immediately and kind of help out with the current job situation. You got word of that. You have no idea what it's about, but hey, double pay. You're in between gigs, so you headed into Ostabai to see what's up with that. I'd like to say, Madonna, same thing. You know, you saw that same sort of job posting for this. You're not a Varigal, but in that job posting, it said, you know, Varigals come in, double pay, and they're also looking for other forms of travelers and adventurers to team up with the Varigals that they put together, that they're trying to put together a sort of a team to kind of handle the current job situation that they're hiring
for. Looking for some bodyguard situation.
Escorts, whatever it is. It just seems like it's not the typical Varagul thing. They're putting out this sort of immediate, like, hey, double pay. We need to take care of this. We have a job sort of thing. And you're right there. You've seen it. So you went into the main outpost office there in the city. I'd love to see, Lutetia, a sort of, life decision, like you talked about. You've been, as we joked, an indoor cat, you kind of been indoor in all your studies up there in, let's get the pronunciation right, Calvernac. You're up in Calvernac. You just finished your studies. You graduated not too long ago, maybe just a couple years ago, and dealt with that trauma and things, but you've been settled in. You've healed from that long since then. You've been doing your studies. You've done your social studies. You kind of want to get out into the real world and try out some of your skills and adventure, and your family's all for it. It's kind of a rite of passage thing. Your parents adventured off into the peninsula when it was their time, just like your grandparents are from the continent. Now it's your time to adventure from there. It seems like every generation of this, they're kind of known to learn the tech, learn as much as you can from the current knowledge of sciences, being a magientist, and then get out into the world and spread that as much as you can, and learn and do what you can. So let's say that that's what you're doing, and it's a life decision to kind of head out and do that. And what better place than to go to Astabai? It's the capital. It's the biggest city of the peninsula. You're certain that if you get there, you can find something to do. And there just happened to be from Convener. What was the pronunciation? I'm going to keep getting that right. Calvernac. There's a caravan going to Astabai currently, bringing supplies, and everyone caravans up. And that's something to mention. The travel is very dangerous. So typically people don't travel alone. You might see a Varagul doing it. They can kind of handle it. Back roads being sneaky, just getting around. But most people travel in caravans and together. Sometimes they'll even travel with an enemy. Someone from the temple might travel with an occultist, with a magientist, they'll mix and match because they know safety in numbers. They might battle with each other, the three different kingdoms and the different occupations and styles of people, but collectively as humans, you have to deal with the elements, and you have to deal with Faeondas. So they do come together during travel. So you hopped on the recent caravan and made your way to Astabai, and you got there, and on the first day you saw the pin notices of jobs needed at this Varagul outpost, and they need all kinds of adventurers, travelers, and people to put together a diverse team to handle the current job situation. Double pay is listed, and what a great place to start. Maybe some adventure, maybe something to do. So you're going to head to that Varagul outpost as well. I'd love to take, is it Ogun? Steve?
Egan.
All right, I'll get these right, I promise, Egan. Let's say, since you're nearby there, you're kind of up in that area, coming off of the winter, you've been laying low in the village that you currently have been in, but you're a hunter. You've been posted up at the end guard helping in between, but now that's kind of ending in the season. So normally you would get back to hunting. And now that they're coming out, you're coming off the winter, you could head over to Astabai and do some hunting in the woods right around there on the way there, and probably sell things, sell your wares, and make some money. Even though it's still trailing off winter, it's kind of hard to get good livestock and things out of the woods and out of the area. Animals are still hibernating. It's still winter, but it's trailing off of that. And, at least if you get to the big city, just the tech from the city, the amount of people, the surrounding area tends to thaw out a little bit faster than just the solid nature sort of spans of land in between. So you kind of headed to the big city. And when you got there, you sold the things that you hunted, maybe made a little extra dowels, which is the name of the currency in Shadows of Esterin. But then you get there and you're about to head back out, do a little more hunting, when you saw that double pay post. We need all kinds of people and travelers and adventurers to team up. We have some Varagul jobs, and it doesn't matter if you're not a Varagul. Double pay. We have some jobs that need to get handled right away, and that interests you. It's going to be at least a couple more months, a few more months of this winter trailing off, and it's a lot of work to hunt during that time. So this sounds like double pay, maybe a little easier to hop in and make some money. So you too headed down to that Varagul outpost to see what kind of job you could pick up. What was that?
Only thing I'd add is he's probably heard about the job of the Varagul rather than saw the notice, because he cannot read at all.
I like that.
He is totally illiterate.
Yeah, let's make that clear. It's a good point to make, so we get that idea. So you caught rumors of it, sitting at the local pub after selling and just bullshitting with other OSAGs that maybe have traveled through here, other hunters that are also talking about the elements having a hard time, and they mentioned that they were thinking about maybe going to do that, maybe not. And in your head, you're like, fuck, double pay. I'm going there first thing in the morning, you know? So Brachera, right?
You got it.
Brachera. All right, cool. So you too, you're traveling, but weren't you based right out of Astabai?
Raish,
that's right. What I would love to do, because I would love to connect a couple people here, and it would kind of make sense, a couple things here, that maybe Marana and Aegon, maybe Aegon and Marana, maybe you two ran into each other at the pub, got to talking about this gig, you're kind of debating on it, you know, maybe it's something like that, like you ran into each other in the city. But I would, you know, think about that. Let's come back to that. Think about, you know, maybe something there. But Leticia and Brachera, you could absolutely be on the same caravan, being that you're both coming from Raish, you're both heading down. Leticia kind of life change to set out, write a passage thing. And Brachera maybe just a sort of traveling occultist thing, like, let me get down to the big city. There's a caravan going. Let me see what I can get into there. And during that caravan, you know, because you're going to travel for days, if not a week, I need to look at the distance. But during that time, you got to talking with Leticia. You met each other. Maybe there's a little teasing and butting heads there. Magiantis versus occultist, the clash of spectrum. But you are traveling together and killing some time talking for a week. So maybe there's something there, too, where you two are familiar. So think about that for a moment. Ned, you're going to be the solo. Just like you are in the Cyberpunk Red game, right? You're a Varigal and you're traveling alone. You're going to meet everyone when the gig starts. So you're a little more self-contained, and it makes sense.
What goes with my independent traits.
Exactly. So I like that. So let's go back over to Marana and Aegon. Let's just see. What do you guys think? Do you want to know each other first? Run into each other in the city at a pub or something? I think it would kind of make sense being Aegon, OSAG, lower level, you know, hunter, can't read and write in the big city. And Marana's a rogue, so she's more street and maybe gets down.
Oh, yeah, and she did not learn to read either.
Oh, okay.
Never grown up how she did. So I imagine they might frequent the same places to get news of what kind of jobs are available.
I imagine you did, because the type of places that he would frequent that will actually allow him into the bars, and that will be the kind of the more rougher areas of the town. And so, and not being familiar or comfortable in the city, actually meeting somebody who knows the city would definitely be a benefit.
Oh, I like that too. So, yeah, I like that. Maybe there's something where, you know, you met when you first went in there selling your stuff. Maybe at one point at one of the markets, Marana even overheard, you know, some guy kind of working a deal with you, kind of ripping you off a little, or doing something that you couldn't pick up because you can't read and write. She can't read and write, but being from the city, she's aware of that sort of scam or something. Maybe there's something there, and she stepped in and was like,
or hey, aware of this particular person.
Yeah, something like that, you know, and kind of helped him out. And then that let Aegon know, like, well, holy shit, okay, well, she seems cool, like, and you start talking to her. Maybe something like that, you know? Because like I said, I would love to tie in at least a couple of these characters so they kind of know each other, they trust each other, that when we all team up, there's at least some trust and friendliness within it, you know? Even if it's not everyone, just a couple here, you know? So maybe something like that. And feel free, let's do that. Let's make that the gist of the story. But from now until session one, you know, out of character, Roquette Fox, Steve, you two, maybe message each other in the group chat that we have set up in Discord for this team, or privately if you don't want the rest of the team to know if there's like things you'll reveal along the way, but maybe create that little, you guys have been getting along for the past week in the city before you heard of this Varigal job thing, and maybe there's something there. I don't know. Think if anything, or it's just as light as what I described, but talk to each other about that. So by session one, we can bring that to life a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
And then back over to Leticia and Brachera. What do you two think? You're on the caravan. You're going to be traveling, you know, almost a week, a handful of days just to get to Astabai. I imagine you two would get to chatting. You guys want to maybe be friendly over that? Like I said, it's never going to be perfect because a Magiantist and a cultist obviously are opposite ends of the spectrum. Not as bad as like temple versus, you know, Magiantist or opposite. But it's definitely, you know, that older school, you know, like to the Magiantist, that voodoo thinking magic stuff, whatever, hoodoo voodoo, whereas the occultist might look at you as just being a book smart, like you have no idea what's really going on in life. Like she sees through the elements and stuff. You know what I mean? Like you both kind of maybe tease each other, but I would like to have some type of friendship there if we could. That'd be kind of fun. What do you two think?
Yeah, I think with me learning my social skills, I think one of the one things that you should learn is how to give a compliment. So she's probably going to be like, "Oh, I like your outfit," and like very awkward. So
I
think
like that.
that's how she'll start. But she won't right off the back say that she's a mendicantess or she's noble. She would definitely go the more very calm and very like, "Oh, I like what you're wearing. Where are you traveling to?" And just start the story off that way because she's very awkward.
I really like that she's awkward. I really do, because Bracara is just weird. She's just strange. She's just very like out of pocket. And if you were to come to her and say some sort of compliment, whether on her clothes or the way she looks or whatever, she would just, her head might implode. But in a way where she's just like, yes, and then latches on to you immediately and wants to talk to you forever. And you're never, ever, ever getting away from her because she just really likes you.
I like
Yeah, and I feel like I'll take it to it as like a science experiment almost. Like,
oh no, I love
okay.
that.
And I start taking notes.
Yeah. I like that.
But the
I
whole
like,
time I'm just in a journal. Just,
just today, Bracara did this.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange.
No, I love that. Exactly. And I like, too, that maybe Leticia doesn't reveal her nobility or that she comes from money and things like that, or that she's a magiantist. But she doesn't say it. She thinks she's, you know, not telling. But to everyone, it's got to be fucking obvious between the you have slightly nicer clothes. You speak a little bit more proper. You're a little more, you know, for lack of adjectives, like a little more nerdy or whatever, a little more book smart sound, you know, like a little less weathered and street smart.
Not very ratty.
And you've got and you wear your artifact. I mean, it's very obvious you have an artifact up there. I mean,
yeah,
imagine
my first
if she
buy,
gets squeamish at just a small injury, too.
What was that, Madame?
I imagine if she gets squeamish at a small injury as well, that
yeah,
would be
exactly.
a quick
yeah,
tell.
That's part of her trauma.
For sure. I think that works. I think the nice thing with Bracara is there's that nice medium because of her background. She knows enough to read. She's literate, you know, but she's not by any stretch a noble. And so she can kind of maybe be that middleman between her and the rest of the party and be like,
I like
I
that.
Promise she means this.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. So let's do this. You know, from now till session one, if, you know, out of character, Valerie and Bones, if you two have ideas to kind of solidify a little fun, quirky things, something with that, talk to each other in the group chat or privately if it's something that you want to reveal, you know, as you go or something. But I love that. Just like you said, Bones, how you said how like she might be kind of like the translator at times when Leticia just doesn't socially get a moment. No, she's not being rude. She just means, you know, or whatever it might be. Maybe there's something there. But but why don't you two talk about that till session one, see if you can kind of flesh that out a little. That'd be great. And the same thing, Rockette Fox and Steve, if you can flesh out that a little bit. And then Phil, just from now till session one, talk to yourself, flesh yourself out.
Absolutely, yep.
Nothing against Phil, but it's his character.
A long
you know?
Essay.
Yeah, it's
I'm independent.
Character. Exactly.
But I also have like the, it's easy to fit me in because if we need to go anywhere, you need a guide.
Well,
so,
yeah, the
I
thing
think
is,
that,
is,
you know,
you're the key to the team because here's what's up. I was waiting to find out what your occupation was because I had an NPC that was a Varigal because every team needs a Varigal to travel and to kind of do. So I was going to have a Varigal NPC that I was going to play to lead you all. But then you picked a Varigal. I was like, perfect. You're the one. You're the traveler. Yep. So, you're just leaning into the character. So it's trust me, chat. I'm not being mean by not giving Phil any friends with the other players. It'll develop over the missions.
Well, in a way, it's even better for me because I get to learn all about the other characters from roleplay,
exactly.
Which is great.
You know,
they're all strangers to me. You have your little connections, and for me, I can tease out all those little things from you guys. So I like to play that role. It's very cool for me to be a stranger to you all and curious and bring all that out. So
hell yeah, well put. I think that's awesome. Okay, I think we've got it. We've got you know, our lines and veils. Like I said, you can send me a private DM if there's anything else that we need to cover that I should know about your preferences of gameplay and stuff. Oh, speaking of gameplay, that is one thing I want to go over. I have, you know, the first plot, the general idea. We know the vibe of Shadows of Asterion and the aesthetic, all that stuff. But I do want to just go around the table real quick and just get a feel for your preferences. Like I said, I have an idea with the first campaign and, you know, we'll develop as we go. But I'm curious, as players, you know, playing your character, would you be interested, you know, more into city life town life, nature, woods, mountains, boats in the sea? You know, what kind of direction? Because obviously, like I said, I've got an idea for the first campaign, but I would just like to hear everyone's kind of preference. If you had something in mind, if you don't have something in mind, don't feel obligated to come up with something on the spot. But if you were thinking like, I kind of would like to explore city life stuff and adventures, or more nature and traveling, or more woods, or let's get out to the sea and get on a boat maybe, or, you know, or get up to the mountains and do something up there. What's everyone thinking? Val, anything in mind at all? Or is it we just open free game?
A boat sounds interesting.
Okay, cool. What about Phil?
Well, I feel like my characters are very much geared to being out in nature and traveling between places. So, yeah, I definitely want to travel and see the wilds of the world and experience its dangers and its mysteries more than I want to kind of spend time in towns and stuff like that. Although, you know, little interludes in town is a great way to sort of, you know, put the character out of its element. As well. So while I don't want to spend all my time in towns and cities, I'm not, completely firmly against it. But yeah, I want to explore the side roads and guide people through the dangerous wilds.
Oh yeah, no, I'm excited for that too, because as you've seen in the rule book, and there's a bunch of different books, The Shadows of Asterion. Everyone check out Studio Agate to check out everything that they put out. But just even in the book one, you can kind of see in the maps, and it, you haven't seen book two, there's some, you know, game leader stuff that I'm looking at that maybe you all aren't looking at as players, but they lay out the map and all these like little locations as little adventure seeds. So there's all these towns and cities, but then there's these little landmarks and things that like you might stumble across with little descriptions that I can kind of take and give to you, and we can kind of bring it to life. And like, I'm excited to see where this goes, you know, but I like that. Okay. Bones, what are you thinking?
I like a nice hearty mix. I like to be in the cities. I like the dark alleyways and the more bureaucratic, almost like politically charged stuff, but if anything, and then, but I also really enjoy the adventuring and traveling part of it as well. I feel like there's a lot of good opportunity to that.
Awesome. Very cool. Steve, any preferences?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously as a Oscar and a hunter, I'm very much geared towards the wilderness. Although I'm certainly no, I can never say this, Demothrin. So the kind of the more kind of druidic people. My skills are all based around nature, so I understand herbalism, botany, and the natural world. So I'm kind of like as close as I could be to being one of those without actually being one of those. That said, I do like the challenge of actually being in a city which is totally out of his environment, and literally being somebody who is very stubborn and proud in an environment that he does not understand what's all.
Nice. No, I like that a lot. Raquette, what do you think?
Yeah, I think thus far I pretty much agree with everyone else. Like, definitely some time in the wilderness, the spaces in between, and I think some city play would be a little bit fun as well.
Okay, cool. No, that's perfect. We'll do a well-rounded thing, but at least I got an idea of some preferences, some things you're kind of looking forward to exploring and stuff like that. And then, like I said, we'll just see where the travels take us, because you're going to stumble across things that, you know, we'll read on the map, and you'll either leave it, or you'll side arc it, or we'll give meaning to it, or we'll continue on. Like, I'm really excited to see kind of how we can develop these stories together. Just like I said, I'm going to lay out plots and ideas and kind of little seeds and stuff myself. But I'm going to, be extremely open-minded to a collaborative here for all of us to really lean into the role-playing storytelling that Shadows of Asterion promotes. It's what they want. It's what the game system is based around. The crunch is secondary. You know, the rules and the math are, and dice are secondary to creating an awesome story together. So that's what I want to do. Awesome. I think we nailed session zero, team. I think we did awesome.
Nice.
Chat, thanks so much for tuning in. I did not forget that something pointless and random. I was so wrapped up in session zero and learning the characters, talking about the land, the game, I completely forgot to play the Sirenscape Shadows of Asterion sound set that we all linked up to. I got it open, and I just realized I never hit play.
I have it open, yeah.
I totally wanted to rock those sounds because Steve and the team there at Sirenscape literally made sound sets for Shadows of Asterion. It has the individual songs. And I should mention that the team at Studio Agate, they put out albums, a comic book. They have an art book with all the art from the different books. I mean, it's amazing. And the music they put out with the atmosphere and stuff. And then Steve and the team at Sirenscape has now translated that into the system. So I will rock that starting on session one and moving forward. Like I said, I think I was just so excited to learn the characters and, you know, have this chat. What was that, Steve?
I was going to say, they also make a fantastic beer called Fiondas.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely need to see if we can get some bottles for us to drink during a session.
We should. We should get them to send us some. That's funny. Send all the players a six-pack or something. That's awesome. Maybe we can do a giveaway, too, at one point. We'll have to talk to Nell and everyone and see if we can link that up. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Just a reminder, this is going to be on the last Monday of every month, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you please subscribe and follow here on Twitch. Also, subscribe on YouTube. Give us a like. Leave a comment in the chat. I'd love to get some feedback from everyone from the Cyber Nation Uncensored community, how you're feeling about this dark medieval horror sort of game that we're going to be getting into. I'd love to hear your feedback on the characters and how we're connecting them. And if you have ideas for that, let us know. We would love to consider that and have you as part of our story. Other than that, everyone, make sure you check out the calendar and you join the Cyber Nation Uncensored Discord. We have lots of casting calls for players with streamed games. We're also looking for more GMs, other series and things. So don't miss anything. Make sure you join that and you keep looking out for it. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Cyber Nation Uncensored.